The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I'd like to continue the introduction to the theme for this next period of time. So the theme is mindfulness of breathing, and specifically the teachings the Buddha gave called Anapanasati, the 16 stages or 16 steps to mindfulness of breathing. So to give a little further introduction to this, the intimacy of breathing to the world and to ourselves is quite phenomenal. And if we live kind of in our thoughts the whole time, we might not really appreciate this great intimacy, cooperative nature, the connected nature that we have with our world around us, and also to the world within us. And breathing is really a bridge for us to kind of feel a deeper connection to the world and a deeper connection to ourselves. And to give you, one example is that that a little bit more conceptual, but in a way that had a big impact on me when I was in college. I took a botany class, and I was sitting in this big amphitheater in Davis, California, and where I went to college. And the professor was giving a drawing on the board, big diagrams with circular diagrams of the cycle of oxygen and carbon dioxide, and how this whole cycles of operated in nature, and I was enthralled by this whole description, and I think I got maybe somewhat concentrated listening to it and involved in it, and then as I left at the end of the class, walking out of this amphitheater, this big room, classroom, you come into this courtyard with some very big valley oaks. Old, big, large oak trees. And I just was stunned. I stood in the middle of the courtyard and looked at these oak trees, having just heard about the cycles of oxygen and carbon dioxide and wondered and thought, I could lose a kidney, I could lose an arm, I could lose an eye, I could lose all kinds of parts of my body. But I still depend on these plants creating oxygen. They're in some ways more important to me than some of these parts of my own body. So that was my thinking that I had. And then I wondered, and this is kind of what kind of really kind of stopped my mind for a little bit in a wonderful, delightful way. Then I thought, well, where, in that case, where do I stop and where do the trees begin? And I had this feeling that there was no real, from this perspective I was doing, there was a continuity and there was no sharp line between me here and the trees there, that somehow we were in it together. And this sense of intimacy and interconnectivity and mutuality and mutual support was kind of just a very inspiring moment in my life to feel that, to sense that. So this kind of feeling, this connection, this intimacy, and some of it maybe came because I was somewhat concentrated, to be able to ride the breath and get concentrated, clears the mind of the debris in the mind, the distractivity of the mind, so that we see with greater clarity, and it tends to be a feeling of intimacy and connection that comes from that. And then also turning the attention inward to the breathing, it's a way of also deeply connecting to ourselves, because it turns out that the deeper we go into getting into meditation, the more we can feel and see how the subtle adjustments and changes in the breathing have to do with our emotional and mental state and our reactivity. And it's possible to be very subtled and then see that we start picking up a particular exciting thought, and the breathing changes accordingly. And maybe the system thinks it needs more oxygen now in order to have more energy to kind of get engaged in this thing. If it's just a certain emotions, even a little bit of anger or a little bit of fear, and it affects the breathing, a little bit of clinging and attachment. And then we go through and we realize the breathing is intimately connected to all these, our psychology, aspects of our psychology, and there's mutuality there because one affects the other. And if we can attend to the breathing and really stay in the breathing, let the breathing kind of become easeful, relaxed, and natural, then that actually changes our psychology and our emotional states, our mental states, and vice versa. But by really kind of getting into the breathing and seeing that connection, it's a way of kind of settling and harmonizing our inner mental life in a way that doesn't require understanding it in some deep way or figuring it out or analyzing it or fixing it even. The breathing kind of rectifies and harmonizes if we really kind of trust and engage in the breathing. So I say these two examples as a way of showing that the breathing is intimately connected to so much of human life that it's well worth spending time really learning to connect to your breathing and make it a habit as you go through the day to just notice your breathing. It's been so beneficial for me to have this habit because I'll go into a store, I'll be talking in a conversation with someone, giving a Dharma talk, all kinds of things that I do, and the breathing will sometimes let me know that I've gotten caught or I'm getting involved or too a little bit attached to something or a little bit, over-involved somehow because the breathing changes. And by having the breathing as a pretty regular reference point that I sometimes catch myself and see what I'm doing faster than if I was tracking all the complexity of my mind and what was going on there. So the So breathing is such a useful thing. The Buddha, it seems the best records we have indicates that the primary meditation practice the Buddha himself did was mindfulness of breathing. There's stories, records of him going off and sitting from 1 to 3 months in the forest on a kind of self-retreat. And when he came out, he would tell his followers, during that retreat that I was practicing, I practiced mindfulness of breathing. There's a very touching story of the Buddha teaching mindfulness of breathing to his own son. And it seems like his son was a teenager, and he looked a little bit like his father. So the Buddha, was probably certainly well respected in his time, so to look a little bit like him was kind of maybe could easily for a teenager give birth to a little bit of vanity. And the Buddha seemed to have picked this up. And he said, Buddha said something like, I'll read it to you because I don't remember it exactly what he said. I just happen to have it here. So his son's name is Rahula. And so the Buddha, they were going for alms round together into the town. And as they were going there, the Buddha picked up with this, the vanity that his son had. And so he turned around to his son and said this, Rahula, any kind of material form whatsoever, whether past, future, or present, internal or external, all material form should be seen as it actually is with proper wisdom. This is not mine. This I am not. This is not myself. So anything that's physical, any physical shape, any physical characteristic that we have, should not be seen as me, myself, and mine. So since it was how Rahula thought he looked, his physical appearance, which he already got caught by, Rahula thought that he'd been outed, thought he'd been kind of admonished a little bit by the Buddha, that statement. So Rahula went back to the monastery where they were staying, the forest where they were staying, and instead of going to getting his daily meal. And then someone said to Rahula, you should really ask your dad to give you instructions in meditation. And so when the Buddha came back, Rahula got instructions in meditation, maybe for the first time. And after some preliminary instructions, the Buddha gave his son instructions in the 16 stages of breath meditation. To me, it's very touching, this closeness, this connectivity between the father and son. And the most important discourse on this mindfulness of breathing is called the Anapanasati Sutta, the Sutta on breathing in and breathing out mindfully. And this also emphasizes this mutuality, this interconnectedness, this harmonious way, that unifying way that things can come together with breathing. And so I guess run out of time now, but tomorrow I'll do one more introductory talk on this topic and discuss this very important discourse in the Buddha, where the instruction usually is the one that we take as the instructions in these 16 stages. And then we'll start getting into this topic more deeply. So finally, I'll say that when I was studying Zen in Japan, where there's also was a big emphasis on mindfulness of breathing, one of my Zen teachers there said that all of Buddhism can be discovered through mindfulness of breathing, through attention to breathing. And I kind of more or less go along with that, that to really kind of care for, to attend to trust, to entrust yourself to be referenced to your breathing, all the things you need to know, all the things you need to discover, to become really free and liberated, will appear, will be part of that and come into play in its own time, its own way. So intimacy with breathing, attending to breathing. And I hope that over time that you'll come to really love the experience of breathing, that somehow there's love in attention to breathing, love in breathing, and that you'll be free. So thank you so much, and I look forward to tomorrow.